The Napoleonic Era, Napoleon in Exile, The Daily Routine, Part 3 at Longwood. Today we're going to look at the audience and the audience process, and then the afternoon drive or walk. Now, when visitors came to Longwood to visit Napoleon, we've already gone through the process of getting the pass and what they do with the pass, but he instituted an elaborate ceremony for the audiences, basically to impress his visitors. First of all, when you arrived at the building at Longwood, a servant in imperial livery, which would be either Santini or Novarez, would be waiting in the garden to escort the visitor or visitors to the billiard room. Then, once you were there, you would be received by an officer or perhaps the whole household. All in full uniform, would be welcomed in the name of the emperor and informed that his majesty would be soon receiving them. Then the grand marshal would appear framed in the door that led into the drawing room. He would then motion for the guests or guests to enter. Now, in spite of their confidence or familiarity with the ways of society, strangers were usually embarrassed by the personality and the present situation of the man waiting to see them. You can imagine how nervous it would be, you know, what you've heard of Napoleon and what have you, and then you've been allowed to come and visit him. It's like going to see your favorite rock star or something else, or a sports star. When you see them, what's going to happen? It's a little nervousness there. Well, what would take place here is Napoleon would immediately at once set the tone of the encounter. Now, he had people that he really liked, the Malcolms and the Balcom family. So I'm going to use Lady Malcolm as an example. Lady Malcolm declared that she was always afraid of meeting Napoleon, which she was very much enamored with, not from a love standpoint, but from the personality standpoint, and the fact that he'd been on the battlefield in Europe for over 20 years. What in the world does he want to do talking just to me? But Napoleon quickly would put her or anybody else who came to visit at ease by questioning them. Now, in her case, he was well aware of the fact that he thought that women liked to talk about themselves. So he would ask questions such as, was this your first sea voyage? Did you get sick on the voyage? Had she been bored on the voyage? Did she do embroidery? And all sorts of other types of questions. Napoleon, however, usually did not sit. Napoleon would stand in front of the fireplace with his hat under his arm. Ever since Admiral Cockburn had come in and sat down without asking permission in his presence, Napoleon preferred to give the audience standing, and he would do that until he was about to drop from fatigue. He would rather do that than see an Englishman take a chair without asking for permission to sit, although most people usually did. With his favorite visitors, as I said, the Balcoms and the Malcolms, he would have long conversations that would just leave them astounded at his knowledge of facts, of men, of history. And the other thing that amazed people who visited him at St. Helena was, for the most part, the London press had always presented Napoleon as a stupid, pretentious vulgarian. And I love the term vulgarian. And so here we don't find a crazy little guy from Corsica. We find a well-articulated gentleman. Now, Lady Balcom was Scottish. And one time, Napoleon gave her a lecture on one of the Scottish writers, a gentleman named Ossian. And that would have impressed most any literary critic. He tried very hard to please her, but, you know, she was gazing at him with all her eyes, and she was a very warm-hearted aristocrat, but she was a connoisseur of manners, and she detected a born sovereign in Napoleon, and that, of course, made him feel good. When she went home, she would, of course, do what everybody else did, jot down notes in her journal. Everybody who came to visit wrote that down, wrote there what he said, everything. So you never know. You can imagine having every word you say to people written down. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not. At any rate, when the audience was over, Napoleon would bow and retire, leaving one of his officers to escort the visitor to the door. And then they would leave Longwood and go back to wherever they were headed. Now, around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was time then for either the daily carriage ride or a walk. So let's do the carriage ride. Normally, General Gorgaud, who was in charge of the stables, would order the carriage harnessed. Madame Bertrand or Madame de Montholon usually sat beside Napoleon, while Bertrand and Las Casas squeezed themselves into the front seat of the carriage. Gorgaud then galloped beside them on horseback. The carriage was a carriage of 6, so there were 6 horses. They were driven by the Archambault brothers, who were very experienced. They had no problem driving full speed on those little roads. And then, of course, at this breakneck speed, they usually went across the Longwood Plateau. They would go around the woods or as far as Deadwood. If the Bertrands were not in the party, then the group would stop at their house and pay them a visit at Alarm House. But sometimes Napoleon decided that instead of taking the carriage ride, he would do a walk instead. In spite of the small size of the park around Longwood, it did seem like it went on forever. So up and down, Napoleon and the ladies and the other people would then walk while Napoleon talked and talked. Of course, the women are in their long dresses, and frequently this would go on until they were exhausted. However, there were several side paths, and every once in a while, the ladies would try and slip away. Not all of them, only one of them. Napoleon always caught them. One time, Madame de Montholon had kind of gotten away, and Napoleon was up about 10 paces ahead of everybody else, and so he stopped and walked back and goes, "Oh, I see Lady Montholon is escaping." So it really didn't necessarily help. Of course, the subjects of the conversation were numberless and depended on Napoleon's mood. Sometimes it was just talking about the weather. Sometimes it was events in Europe that had come in on the local paper. Shouldn't say local paper, but from the papers that arrived in Jamestown. Of course, everything he said provided materials for the journals of Gorgon, Bertrand, Madame de Montholon, and Las Casas. Even Ali and Marchaud kept notes. And Napoleon was well aware that they were all writing this stuff down. And periodically, to make sure that he was properly covered, he would stop and repeat himself to make sure that he was properly understood. And then once that is over, it's evening, and so we have the evening procedure that we need to go to next. That'll be our next show, be our last show on the, shall we say, the etiquette or the daily routines. The sources for this: Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau, Memoirs de St. Helena by Las Casas, Cashiers de St. Helena by General Bertrand, St. Helena's Who's Who by Dr. Chaplin, and the Journal of St. Helena by General Gorgon. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.